Well, good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Jen A. from Colorado and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, March 26, 2024. It's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And today we're reading from the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter titled Bill's Story. We're on page number 11 and we're reading the second paragraph. It begins with the wars which had been fought, and we're going to read through one paragraph ending with, and he certainly had me. And let's comment on that one paragraph only, please. Today, readers are the following. Team Tuesday, we have Chris G., Susan G., Nancy P., Lynn S., Elena C., Benita L., and Christine G. The reference numbers for yesterday, Monday, March 25th, 2024, the 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Big Book Study recording is the following, 21,252, that's 21252. And the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Big Book Study recording is 21,253, 21253. Here's the OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting or accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. But our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose. That's to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Chris G. to read the 12 steps.
Thank you. This is Chris G. I live in Tennessee, and I am a compulsive overeater. These are the steps that we took. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, we promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge for His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, I pass.
I will now ask Susan G. to read the 12 traditions.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Susan G. in Tennessee, recovered compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks. Pass.
Thank you so much, Chris G. and Susan G. for your service this month. This is how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and the literature that we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, for readers is 6 months, but there's no abstinence requirement if you'd like to share on the topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read today. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us personally. So to share, press star 1 to unmute your phone. And once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. So today we resume our study in the chapter, Bill's Story. We're in the Big Book on page 11, that second paragraph. And I will now ask Nancy P. to begin reading.
Hey, good morning, Jen. Good morning, everybody. Nancy P. recovered in West Newton, Massachusetts. The wars which had been fought, the burnings and chicanery that religious dispute had facilitated made me sick. I honestly doubted whether, on balance, the religions of mankind had done any good. Judging from what I had seen in Europe and since, the power of God in human affairs was negligible, the brotherhood of man a grim jest. If there was a devil, he seemed the boss universal, and he certainly had me. Jen, you'll keep time for me, please. Bill came by his attitude honestly. I mean, he was a kid from Vermont who went to the first example of modern warfare ever, like air warfare, chemical warfare, automatic weapons. You know, this wasn't just like swords and horses anymore. And so I can understand his attitude about that. And he didn't think he could get better. He didn't think that there was a possibility. And neither did I. And I've been in this program for quite some time, and I sat there in meetings for decades, jealous, angry, and resentful, because everybody else except me, they were the cool kids. They had the secret handshake or the magic booklet or whatever it is that they needed, and they all got it, and they were happy, joyous, and free, or at the very least, abstinent. And abstinence is the very least, in my opinion. But I never had any of that. I was angry, and, you know, my attitude was, get away from me and leave me alone. That's what I wanted, and everybody was absolutely fine with that. Okay, we'll get away and leave you alone. You can be by yourself. And I sat like that, you know, stewing in my own toxic juices for a long time. And, you know, how come her and not me? How come him and not me? How come them and not me? Why not me? Why not me? And, you know, finally, the elevator only goes down, and finally I decided to get off at the mezzanine when my poor girl was hacking herself up with a razor blade and burning herself to a crisp. And I said to my friend, my dear friend that I've known for 45 years, you know, help me. And she did. She told me, you know, she told me about this meeting, and I called in on December 1st of 2017. I have not had to hurt myself with food since that day. But that was only the beginning. I mean, that is the least of the gifts that I've been given. Today, my life is just brimming over with joy and light. Now it's me and everybody else. Like, anybody calls me and says, you know, I'm eating, or I'm, you know, help me or whatever, I am more than happy to extend myself and tell them that they're not hopeless. That's the most important, the most crucial thing that I can do, is be there for somebody else. The way that Ebby went there for Bill, he knew that he had what they call a live one. You know, he had this friend who's a live one. And my friend knew that about me. When she told me about this meeting, she could hardly talk. She was stumbling all over herself, saying, you've got to dial into this meeting. It's the best thing. And they're on the doctor's opinion. You've got to do it. And you know, I won't go into, like, my reaction to that, which was not good. But, you know, I did dial in, and I found this amazing fellowship, which is what I had always lacked. And, you know, and I couldn't embrace any kind of fellowship, because I didn't think that that was going to work for me. Why would I want to hang around with a bunch of overweight women who dressed bad and thought they knew everything? And, you know, then of course I looked in the mirror and decided I was one of them, and jumped in with both feet. And I did get better. And not only did I get better, I got, in my opinion, really better. And I got really better really fast. So anybody who's still struggling, anybody who's you know, can't get out of food, trust me, it can be you too. You can have everything that everybody else has whose recovery you respect. It's all there for you, waiting for you, buckets and oceans and rivers of it. And it is. I'll wrap up, Jen. And, you know, it's not at you know, Joe's recovery and bait shop. It's right there in front of you right now. And one thing only is where it starts. Say it with me. Surrender, surrender, surrender. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Nancy P., for getting us started in Bill's story this morning. So we do value everyone's experience. We ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. I'll take first names, first initial of your last name. So who would like to share on what was read today?
Harlan G.
Deb.
Harlan, who was next? Sounded like a Gabby or a something like that. Who was it? Well, I can take a list of names. So everybody press star one, go right ahead.
Karen K.
Jesse J.
Karen.
Kathy J.
Thanks, Kathy.
10K from Florida.
Ann P.
Ann. All right, I got room for one more. Who would
Abby R. from New York.
I'm sorry, who was it again from New York?
Abby R.
Abby. Thank you, Abby. All right. You guys were a kind group this morning. I got Harlan G, Karen K, Kathy K, Ken K. Whew. Then we got Ann P and Abby R. What an awesome lineup. Go right ahead, Harlan. Good morning.
Good morning, Jen. Thank you very much for your service. I'm Harlan G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I live in Scottsdale, Arizona. For the last 45 years, it has been my honor and privilege to be a member of this Overeaters Anonymous community. And I have literally seen thousands and thousands of people come and go in all shapes and sizes, colors and varieties. And this paragraph ties a lot of these people together, including me, because this paragraph talks about something that's timeless. And what it's talking about are reasons not to doubt God necessarily, but to be angry at God. And if I've taken this phone call once, I've taken it 1,000 times. How can I believe in God when there was a Holocaust? And how can I believe in God when there's racial injustice? And how can I believe in God when there's my brother did this and my sister stood on her head and my mom did this? and on and on and on. And what we're really talking about here is anger. And I say this to people because it was said to me. There are a million reasons to doubt God, but there's one very good reason not to. And we're going to get into these next few paragraphs during this week. God did for Ebby Thatcher what Ebby Thatcher could not do for himself. And Bill Wilson is witnessing this alcoholic, and he's not drinking, and he's happy about it. He is happy in his release. Nobody promised me a rose garden. Life has been tough for all of us, or we wouldn't be here. Nobody comes in here on a roll. Nobody wakes up in the morning and says, wow, my life is fantastic. I think I'll go join Overeaters Anonymous. Now, I am not doubting, nor disparaging, nor having an opinion on atheists or agnostics. Those are perfectly fine. And we just heard from one. But the bottom line is, all that's required here is a willingness to believe that there's a power greater than myself. That's all that's required. I don't have to become a theologian. I don't have to become anything but who I am and what I am. But here is my question to myself. If I'm going to be angry at God, what kind of an egomaniac am I? Number one, God didn't put a bunch of robots on this earth. He put people that could do good or bad. And when bad was done, God cried right there with me. But is this the hill that I want to die on? Because in the next few paragraphs this week, don't miss them, by the way, we're going to see that God had done for Ebby what Ebby could not do for himself, that his human will had failed, and that doctors had pronounced him incurable. Yet not drinking, and he was very happy about it, and only God could have done that. Thanks for your service, Jen. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Harlan G. from Arizona. Up next, we have Karen K. from Syracuse, New York, followed by Kathy J. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning, and my name is Karen K., recovered compulsive eater from Syracuse, New York, and my credits don't transfer. God there's a turning point, I believe, for most people in this program. A turning point where, is there a God or is there not a God, as long as I know it's not me? And I had to stop and realize that I had to let go of my micromanaging my life, my husband's life, and anyone else around me that would let me do it. And then if there's a form of surrender that takes place, and you know, I would just love to be there in the room when this was all going on. And I like to stay true to the paragraph that we're on right now. And it's like, okay, all right, there's something out there. Because I know for me, you know, as we get into, I just said I wasn't going to do that, but on page 13, Bill W. does all 12 steps in less than 36 hours. And it was important to write it this way because not everybody comes in the program with any relationship with God or no relationship with God or pockets. I'm going to keep to myself and let God have some of them. And I'm just struck by this paragraph and, like, why would God give me glaucoma in my right eye and may go blind? Why? No, why not me? Why not me be a compulsive overeater? Why not me be angry at my husband about blah, blah, blah? Why not me? You know, we're all children of God or higher power, whatever you want to call it. Why not me? I don't have to pick or choose what God permits to have happen. Keyword, God permits to have happen. God permitted that conversation to take place between Bill and Ebby to see the truth. So I guess I just want to close with, why not me? because I am certainly not unique, and I'm so grateful that I have a power greater than me, and I know that it's not me. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Karen Kay from Syracuse, New York. Up next, we have Kathy J. Kathy, good morning. Tell me where you're calling in from today.
Kathy J., Chicagoland. Thanks for taking the meeting for, you know, it's great comments so far. You know, there's cynicism here. I was very hard of heart, you know, and somebody was willing to go over this program of recovery, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater because I started to soften after I finally let my guard down and realized, you know, I was gone through my history, and I was like, oh my God, I'm pretty messed up after all. And I've tried all these other things. My way didn't work, but there was a sparkle in Abby's eye. And at first it went to the bristle everyone does when they come in, oh, the G word, he's on fire, you know. But I just thought, you know, what have I got to lose? I'll just try. And just trying was all I had to do to start to see other people's food, you know, problem removed, and other people start to feel better. Other people, you know, and I had somebody say to me, tough crap, you've had a lot of stuff happen. It's terrible. But you're not the only one. A lot of people in this room have. And to, you know, by yourself, sitting there licking your wounds for the rest of your life, how's that working for you? So to pick up this toolkit, you know, and these steps, you know, I have found not just relief, but transformation. You know, I had to have that psychic change. I had to become more of who I'm meant to be and not just my base instincts telling me go to this pleasure, that pleasure. And here's Abby helping another and, you know, introducing a man who's just been mutilated by war and everything in his childhood, transformed, you know, into, you know, a man who can do all this for us 90 years later almost. We're here because of this little conversation. It's just amazing. So what else can God do if he can do this? If he can change this man who's just hopeless into someone who's vital and through history has helped people, what can he do for my life? You know, pretty good stuff here. I love this program. I think about Tradition 10. Tradition 10, no opinion on outside issues, no opinion on outside issues. Set it aside and open my mind to what can be possible with a power greater. You know, what do you want him to be and do for you? He's probably going to be that. This God's too big for one religion or one concept, you know, and is all inclusive. That's the way I see it. Thanks. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Kathy J. from Chicago. Up next, we have Ken K. from Florida. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning. This is Ken K., T-A-N. Okay, from Florida. Thanks a lot for the service that everybody is doing here. Everybody who is in the call, listening, sharing, participating. So in December 2017, I made my last promise to, and my last promise to make a diet, and I threw everything in the trash. And 5 minutes later, I took everything out. And I realized at that time that I can't do it. So that's the first time that I really surrendered and I joined. And it was my first call, OA call, that I participated. And I got abstinent very fast. I lost 60 pounds very fast. Because I always believed in God in a way. But unfortunately, in the second year, a fear crept up in me that I will lose my abstinence. And fear means I don't trust God. So I stopped trusting God, and I gained everything back. So I think my as a kid, as a 12, up until 12 years old, I was always talking directly to God, you know, asking him for the smallest things, you know, please help me in this test that I will do, you know, and he was like a friend of me. And then I stopped talking to him after I was 12. And I think I forgot him somehow. And I also think I forgot, I didn't believe that he would interfere in my life and that, you know, he has probably better things to do in a way. And I think that's probably my main challenge here, really trusting God. I have so many fears, so many things, and every fear means I don't trust. I have especially problems doing outreach calls. Like the first time around in OA, before I went into you know, relapse, I never made any outreach calls. You know, I think since December 2017, I made 6 calls because I'm afraid of you know, that I will not be approved, that people do not want me to call them. So this is something really new for me. Start to, you know, even to think that I could be a part of this community is really something new. Who wants me in the same club? So I think that's kind of what I'm struggling at the moment, and I'm slowly, and it's probably a second type of surrender that I'm going through at the moment. So I'm really grateful for this meeting. I'm really grateful for all these, for all of you who share, who I need to trust more because you are on my side. You are my tribe, and I've been alone for such a long time that it's difficult to believe that I'm a part of something. So I think that's what is necessary to believe in God and to surrender. Thanks a lot for letting me share, and I pass.
Well, thank you so much. Welcome, Tan K. That's T-A-N-K from Florida for the correction there. Up next, we have Ann P. followed by Abby R. Good morning, Ann, and where are you calling in from today?
I'm Ann P. from Maryland, and this has been, for me, in my recovery, this has been the essential factor. I have been in OA for over 12 years, and I have flailed. I had initial huge weight loss. I gained back some of the weight because I kept taking my own will back and playing tricks in my head. Oh, I can handle this. Oh, this is, I know what I can do. And when I have this, what I have realized is I have to totally rely on God, my higher power, to give my will over to that. And I have found food neutrality, I have found peace, and a recovery that I am so grateful for. I feel like one of the things in a meditation that I had years ago was that God is like the water, and that I love to float on my back in the water. And when you float on your back, you relax, you let go. If you try and take control, you sink. And that when I let God support me and don't flail, my life is so much better. My recovery is so peaceful and profound that it just amazes me. And I love being on this platform because we can talk about this in a way that, and people don't get scared. And I just it's hard to put into words how much this has meant to me. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Ann P. from Maryland. Appreciate hearing from you this morning. Up next, we have Abby R. from New York. Abby, go right ahead.
Hi, this is Abby R. from New York Food Addict. You know, I've been in program for over 25 years and abstinent for like a month. So to give you an idea of how long I've hung around here, my basic feeling about God was that I believed in him. I never had issues with him, but I just never believed he was going to help me. Because all I did was ask and ask, and he never did. And so I sat in that awful, awful place of self-pity and why me? And someone mentioned jealousy, and then I started to question, this doesn't work for everybody. This must not work for everybody. You know, rarely have we, I'm the rare person. And then I got introduced to vision, and I met like nearly, I mean, there's like a, I don't even know how many thousands of people on this line, but listening to the recovery through this program gave me hope. Well, why? I'm not that special. If it works for all these people who I truly believed were like me, and some maybe even had gone down even lower, well, what makes me so special that it wouldn't work for me? So I had to make a decision, right? Like, so God either is or he isn't. I'm either making my life dependent on my finite self or him, infinite God, or her, whoever. For mine, I just say him. So every question that comes to my life, like my two-way prayer this morning, you know, I've been pretty isolated, took a leave from work. I don't go really out at all, pretty much. And I, you know, canceled vacations. And my question to God this morning was, how do I know my reliance on you is strong enough to enter the outside world, right? From my outside my little cocoon. Well, his answer was, you're not going to know that in your mind. You need to take some action and ask me for support beforehand, during, after. Are you turning your fear over to me? And that's, he said, that's all you really have to do, because I will take it from you if you let me. You can go anywhere with me, he said. You just need to make a choice. Are you willing to take me with you? So that's the choice, not whether I pick up or not, not whether I eat this food or make a phone call and not make a phone call. Do I choose to take God with me in anything I do? Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks so much, Abby R. from New York. All right, up next, what we're going to be doing is taking another list of names. We do value everyone's experience, so we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share with their experience too. So we're on Bill's story in the big book on page 11, paragraph number 2. And if you give me your first name and the first initial of your last name, I'll write you down. Go right ahead.
Gabrielle.
Bella in Georgia.
Okay, so I heard Gabrielle. I think that's who it was. And then I heard Anita J. And then who else is in there?
Darian K.
Darian K. and Pete B.
Denise O. in Vermont.
Denise O. in Vermont. Thank you.
Chris
G. in Tennessee.
And Chris G. in Tennessee. I got you, Pete. Chris G. in Tennessee. Is that right? Okay. Correct me if I'm wrong when you get up. Give me the first initial of your last name and your state. But this is who I heard this morning. Gabrielle, Anita J., Darian K., Pete B., Denise O., and Chris G. So did I get it right, Gabrielle?
Yes, thank you.
What's the first initial of your last name and where are you calling from?
My first initial, my last name is M as in Mary, and I'm calling from Georgia, and I am a compulsive overeater, a real one. I so appreciated reading this morning and thinking about when I first came into recovery where I was with a higher power. I did believe in a higher power, but as has already been shared, I had a variety of belief that there was a higher power and he did things for other people, but he did not like me for some reason and he wasn't going to do anything for me. And my childish little thought about why he didn't like me eventually boiled down to I was just a really terrible person. You know, I had no basis for that on what I thought about myself, but I just thought that. And I'm so grateful for this program because it's taught me how to change my perspective, to understand that all the things that I asked for, like, you know, it says in the big book, a greedy child makes a list for Santa Claus. They weren't necessarily what was good for me. And beginning to see that my higher power had always been present in my life and continuing to uphold me. And it was shared in here too, learning to flow with that direction, the direction my higher power was leading me in. And it still happens to me. I get very fear-based and I think, you know, somebody was sharing, you know, put my trust in my finite self. I'll make a lot of mistakes. And about a year ago, I had just thought, I'm never going to get this program and I'm just going to go eat till I die. I just gave up. I didn't even try to have a sponsor or anything. And somehow my higher power encouraged me to come back to this meeting and eventually to get a sponsor. And I've been abstinent now since October 5th of last year. And it's just such a peace about it. So I'm definitely a work of progress in this program because it's a daily thing for me to trust in my higher power. It's a daily thing for me to look at what my part in problems is and to let go of doing things my way and being open to suggestion. And when I do those things, my life is so much better. I'm more peaceful. I'm happier. I'm more grateful for what I do have. And I'm not wanting to grasp everything I can out of, you know, the world. So I'm really grateful to be here. I'm so grateful that we read just little portions of this at a time and I can hear everybody's experience, strength, and hope. Thank everybody who shares. Thanks. I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, Gabrielle M. from Georgia. Up next, we have Anita J., followed by Darian K. Good morning, Anita.
Good morning, Jen. I'm sitting here thinking about God, you know, that line from a poem about how do I love thee, how much, let me count the ways. But that's not what I used to count. I used to count all the negativity. Why did this happen? Why this and why that? Even on my honeymoon. You know, there's somebody making so much noise. So why this and why that? I was trying to identify out, evidently, desperately trying to identify out. And I think I was doing it because I thought the only thing I've ever really trusted is the food. My parents couldn't because of whatever happened to them, you know. And anyway, it was just that way. But, you know, when you turn it around and look at what he's done for me, that was the miracle, but the turning around was, I guess, the miracle. It took decades. I walked in here as a pretty young person in 1978, and it took till 2017 to say to myself, I can't have one of anything, not just food, not without help. And that's when finally God kind of smiled, I'm pretty sure, and thought, this one really put up a fight. But I'm so happy she finally decided to give me a chance. And I don't regret it. It took what it took. So I don't care how long you've been coming and you've given up. You shouldn't do it. There's no other way, thank God, because this is the way. And that's all. I just like to show that it works for everybody. And thank you. I pass.
Thanks, Anita Jay. I think you're in Boston. Am I correct? Massachusetts, somewhere over there? I think she is. All right, Anita Jay. Up next, we have Darian Kay. Darian, go right ahead.
Oh, good morning, Jen. Can you hear me okay?
Absolutely.
Yeah, good, good. All right, yes, she's from Massachusetts. I'm from Massachusetts. and I am so grateful to be on the line today with all of you. And, you know, I was thinking, I was actually chuckling to myself. So my religious God went out the window, I think, my last Hebrew word of my Haftorah when I was 13 years old. And then I was done. I was done. You know, after my bat mitzvah and my religion, you know, done. And so, you know, God, I don't think I ever really talked to God after that, you know, because I thought I graduated. I got my little mini Torah and I'm done. You know, it's just, I'm so grateful that this program is so all-inclusive, diverse, encompassing. You know, there's so many adjectives to describe this. You know, I heard somebody, I think, wisely said it's like a rainbow, really. You know, we're all the same shape as in the rainbow, but we're different colors. I just love that. And I'm just so grateful that I have a higher power in my life, that it's not too big. That I don't have to think that, you know, little tiny Darian here on Earth is important enough, you know, or not important enough to be taken care of on a daily basis. I really, really believe in my heart of hearts today that, you know, he carries me through so much. And hindsight is always 20/20, in my opinion, and I tend to look back and see what I've been through in my life, and I've been in program a really long time, and just to think of the really big life situations that I've walked through with my higher power is just amazing, and to not have picked up the food. Like, that is a miracle, such a miracle. So I'm just so grateful and full of gratitude, and, you know, again, In the beginning, I thought that my higher power was my sponsor. I thought it was the meeting. I used to go to this huge meeting, and I thought, oh, this is it. This is, like, where I'm going to get the power. And, you know, I stopped, eventually going to those meetings because I moved or whatever, and I had different sponsors. And you know what? It was fine. It was fine. I continued this program, and I still am taken care of today. And just so grateful to be with you. Thank you. I pass.
Thanks so much, Darian Kay from the Berkshires of Massachusetts. Up next, we have Pete B. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, Jen. Thanks for taking the meeting. Appreciate your service. My name is Pete B. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm recovered today by God's grace and mercy. And, I don't think that that compulsive overeaters, alcoholics, I don't think it's unique to us to have this reluctance to believe in God or believe in a higher power. I mean, there's certainly enough evidence, you know, if you were to rationally look at the state of affairs to come to the conclusion that, you know, there's no God, or at least if there is, they want nothing to do with me because I'm bad or I'm not good enough or whatever. I don't think that that's just for us, right? And, you know, so obviously, you know, we come in, many of us, reluctant to believe in this power or reluctant to think that we need this power. And, you know, often, like, so we'll call ourselves, we'll use the term agnostic, and the term agnostic, you know, meaning that I don't know the specific term, but basically related to, we just don't believe that there's something out there, right? And I learned on this line that the word agnostic actually comes from, I think it's Latin, ag meaning without, and gnostic meaning knowledge. And, you know, what I found out is that's the problem, is because I look outside of myself and I think about that there's no power there, but I don't look inside myself to recognize what I'm dealing with, the severity and the significance of the condition that I have, and the understanding that I have never, ever been able to do anything about it, and none of you have ever been able to do anything about it for me either. Right, so like the knowledge that I don't have is not about God. I don't have knowledge about the condition. And in my mind, the condition actually makes me minimize the significance of the condition. Oh, it's not that bad. Oh, you hang in there. Other people have gotten by without God. Other people have relied on the meeting and the sponsor and the big book. Why can't I? And for me, the answer is why can't I? Is because those things don't have the power. That's human aid. That's mental defenses. All of which I've learned from my experience and the experience that other recovered fellows have shared with me have never been sufficient to overcome this condition for somebody that has it, as the doctor describes it in this book. Right, so yeah, I could let the condition minimize it, say that we'll get by this way, get by that way. I love it when somebody comes in, oh, I'm reluctant to believe, I don't believe, I can't believe from my history. And they come in and constantly struggle. We have a simple program of action. The first part of it is to put the substance down 100% entirety and understand that we can't get the phenomenon of craving if we don't pick up the substance that causes it. And we get relief by being entirely abstinent. And then the mental obsession is relieved by this 12-step recovery program. That's all I got.
Thanks so much, Pete B. from PA. Up next, we have Denise O. from Vermont, and then Chris G. Good morning, Denise.
Good morning, Jen. Thank you so much for taking the meeting. This is the first time I'm sharing on the line in quite a long time, but I wanted to share because I was just so moved by so many things that were already said in the meeting today. I've been very blessed by finding a higher power that works for me. Yet lately I've been sitting around feeling sorry for myself. In regards to how I'm eating and what my body feels like. And I realized through something somebody said this morning that I'm the one standing in my own way. And the reason is because I, for so long, don't want to weigh and measure my food again. Yet I've been focusing on that being the problem, instead of me being willful. And the thing that really moved me this morning that I heard, is when it was said that there is so much more than abstinence to this program. And that really moved me, and it moved me into want to share. And I think because I was in the right place at the right time, I was actually able to hear those words. And I feel so blessed by that. And I would love outreach calls, but I will stay on the line this morning. And I'm so grateful to have this time to share. And again, I'm Denise O. in Vermont. And I'll pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Denise O, for pressing star one to unmute and sharing with us this morning. Up next, we have Chris G. from Tennessee. Good morning, Chris. Go right ahead.
Thank you. Thank you, Jen. Thanks for everybody for your service today. And thanks for everybody for sharing. It's so important for us to share our stories, to share my story. And I didn't even know I had a story. I listened to everybody else's story, and I didn't know what my story was. So here's my story. What I thought was that I didn't have a personal God. God was big. God was really big, and God could take care of the children in Ethiopia, the starving children in Ethiopia. They deserved God. But for me, I could have made a cross stitch for my kitchen that said, "Stay out of here. Keep out. Go away. This is my kitchen and I'll take care of it, God, and I don't need your help." Well, so what did that get me? It did not get me happy, joyous, and free. I come here, they say, I'm transformed. I'm happy, joyous, and free. And I go, what? Happy, joyous, and free. What? And so what's the transformation? What is it? Well, I'll tell you now. It's realizing that all good things come from God, even the little tiny things. All good things come from God. And I don't know. That's the surprise. There's a surprise there that I don't know. But when I look around and I say, oh, thank you, God, for this. Oh, thank you, God, for that. Then I'm on the right direction. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Chris. All right, that was Christy from Tennessee. We do have a couple more minutes on the clock before we end our meeting. Was there someone who didn't get a chance to share that wants to press star one?
Benita L.
Go ahead,
Yvonne
Benita.
H. Hey, hold on a minute, guys. I got to get off. Hey, this is Benita. Yeah, I love this reading because I remember my first husband using the same argument that I always had sort of a mystical orientation, but my first husband, you know, showing me tons of evidence there was no God. And to me, I think it's interesting because obviously God is super respectful and God doesn't interfere with us. You know, God lets us do whatever we want. It's like the program, right? We can make ourselves as miserable as we want. And then if we decide to ask for divine intelligence or guidance, then it's available to us. So to me, all these crazy things going on the planet are the human ego, just like my addiction came from my human ego. Because even though I always had a God, it wasn't a workable, I don't know, it didn't seem to be a workable God that I knew how to, I didn't understand the laws of the universe and how to tune into that God. And so, yeah, people, though, I've learned they love blaming God for everything and don't tend to want to take personal responsibility. And when we surrender and ask for help, God's right there for us because God is, you know, in me and outside me. And so that's one thing that I see confuses a lot of people, and I'm glad that doesn't confuse me. Thanks.
Well, thanks so much, Benita L., for carrying us out of the meeting today with that share. Let me tell you that we're so grateful about everyone who shared today, everyone who was on the meeting. Thanks for Team Tuesday and all your service this month. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following the closing. So the share ID for today, which is March 26, 2024, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, is the following. It's 21,255. That's 21255. We will now close the meeting with the reading from the big book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. My friend Lynn S., will you please read a vision for you?
Hi there, sorry, Jen. I was having trouble getting unmuted.
Okay.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and